Hi friends, welcome to the Mama.Wife Life Podcast. I'm your hostess Brittany, and each week we'll be gabbing, bragging, and unpacking about life. So grab yourself a drink, get yourself comfortable, and get ready to be inspired.
Hello everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
So we are back today after a very cold night, minus 20 outside.
That's what they said.
Yeah, and your doorbell was frozen and I woke everybody up.
I know, the doorbell just wouldn't stop going. It's like, unfreeze!
Ding, 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 ding. And I'm up there with like, trying to heat it up. He's up there with a hammer, like trying to make it unstick. I'm like, just imagine what your neighbors are like, oh shit, here we go.
The joys of wireless doorbells.
Literally.
You know what the funny thing is? When people come, they don't press the bloody bell when they walk up to it.
Because they say just things like, oh, we didn't know your doorbell worked.
But
couldn't you try it? Like, just once. Just
push it?
You know, just give it a shot.
I think it's there. Well, then I must be the only one that does it.
Yeah, you pretty much are.
Because I'm like, oh, doorbell, button, let's push it. It's like, oh, it's your last nerve? Let me touch it.
It's so true.
I'm a professional at that, so it's fine.
Anything? Brittany, what are we talking about today?
Parental guilt.
Parental guilt?
Uh-huh.
No such thing.
Parental guilt.
Yeah, that's
don't
a thing.
In it.
I know, that's why I figured we should talk about this, because
yes.
I sometimes feel like I have parental guilt, but you guys don't.
Not really.
So where do we start with parental guilt? What's that sort of about?
I pulled up some stuff here because I wanted to. There's seven common reasons. I'm the working parent. A child misbehaves in public.
Okay.
My child's diet is awful.
Okay.
My child enjoys too much screen time, which is just ironic now because we're like, we're going to do online learning.
Yeah.
How do you avoid screen time anyway? Go on.
I yell too much, which I think is me. I'm just loud. Like, I'm just a loud person. Like, when my kids were younger, like, you would hear us yelling, and it wasn't like we were like yelling. It was like, I'm just loud. Like, I'm going to get you. Like, I'm so loud.
I hate to tell you, you know your kids aren't quiet, right?
They are not.
Yeah.
So I think that's my fault.
Yeah. It's possible, but that's your mom guilt.
Yeah,
could be that maybe they are of you.
They
you're
maybe
yelling over them.
Maybe.
Keep going. What else we got?
I can't afford to give my children any extras.
Interesting one. Okay.
I can't do it all. Nobody can.
That's
you're not
true.
A superhero.
That counts as guilt. Okay.
Yeah. And so that is the seven. That is seven. So those are the top seven. And then you get into like coping with the parenting guilt, and parents need to change expectations and drop the guilt. That's like the big thing is like,
yeah,
your expectations need to literally just be lowered, because it's like everyone, parents want to do all the things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's like, you can't do all the fucking things all the time. And then you wonder why you're having a mental breakdown and your anxiety's through the roof, and quit trying to be a fucking superhero.
Are we going to strip it down because we all have kids and we're going to explore our own failings, as it were?
We're not going to, no, because no one's failing. I think
perceive as parental guilt, like for our own selves, sort of.
Well, I'm a yeller.
To loosen it up,
yeah.
You're a yeller.
And it's like when I was growing up, it's like you would just always hear my mom yelling, and it's not, and I will also yell like if the kids are in trouble. Like that's just me, and I try not to. But yeah, we are a loud family when I think about it.
Yeah.
And then I feel like sometimes I don't give them the proper attention, and it's not that I don't pay attention to them, but it's like, I feel like I should be maybe kind of holding the room better rather than trying to like, we got to clean this up. Like, and I say holding the room because I found an article and I read it, and it's like, I kind of half-ass do that where I let them make a mess. I let them bring the toys downstairs and I just let them free play. And then when it comes time for like a meal break, so like snack, lunch, supper, whatever, we need to tidy up. We're going to tidy up the mess. Then we're going to have food, and then we can make another mess. Right. And when I watch my husband, he just like, he's not good with it. Like, he can't deal with the mess. He's just like, get everything upstairs. I can't. Like, his head's going to explode.
Mm.
My kids' diets, like, I don't really focus too much on them because they eat fairly well. When they misbehave, I think I've stopped giving a fuck about how my kids act in public. Like if they act like crazy people, it's like, yeah, they don't even know how to regulate their own emotions. So they're going to have freakouts. If I could act like that in public and not be like called off in a crazy bus, I probably would too.
Actually, yeah, that's valid.
Right? Like if I could get away with like throwing myself down in the store if they didn't have what I wanted and just be like, this is bullshit. And no one would be like, what the fuck is wrong with this woman?
She kind of does that.
I do it, but I stomp. I'm like, this is stupid.
Do you carry any parental guilt at all?
I probably do. My first knee-jerk reaction is it's like, I don't have parental guilt about stuff. It's like, I have two kids really far apart, which I think has given me a different perspective sometimes, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not dealing with two really young kids where I'm overstressed because now I haven't slept in 5 years or whatever it is. And my kids are 11 years apart. So I literally already had a kid old enough to babysit by the time I had my second. So I think it gave me a lot of sort of the FU factor, right?
Yeah.
It's like, aren't you a little old to be a mom for the second time? And it's like...
And how old were you? Because no one...
I was 43 when I had Rose.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, so yeah, you get lots of opinions and it's like, oh, you're not going to have energy to do anything. Oh, you're... Well, that's their problem, not mine. So I didn't feel like, oh, wow, what if I don't have the energy? It's like, well, she'll just deal with it.
She'll have to like, deal with it.
Do you think
I actually have plenty of energy.
Because Toby's such a good kid as... at 18, does that give you a sort of I kind of did the job right here somewhere regardless of the
that's
failings
a good point.
And that now you don't have that kind of issue when it comes to Rose, you kind of sort of, I mean, you know,
there's
doing the job again, but yep. It's like you kind of did it okay.
Yeah absolutely. I feel like, and I'm lucky, I mean, I did had a kid that was like super responsible about a lot of things, and he didn't cause a lot of problems or anything like that. He didn't get into anything dangerous or, you know, scary.
That's
that sometimes
though,
parents
yeah.
That's his nature,
that's his
nature.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like I did recognize where I was no longer in control mm-hmm. of the bus, so to speak. So I don't feel like parents whose kids have like serious problems, like addiction problems or things like that, where they feel really horrible that they feel somehow that they caused it. It's like, oh no, I could see where that split happened. And all of a sudden I had a young adult. I didn't have a kid.
Well,
And you lose that control over those things and you have to be able to release that.
I was just gonna say that. I think that's the biggest problem is like when you have kids and they're younger and they're babies and you're just like, they're a sack of potatoes. So you can put them in and you can move them and do whatever. Right. And then they get older and they are like obsessed with you and they're like, I love you so much. I want to be up your ass and let's just go do all of the things. And then they hit like 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And then they become this like, I don't want to listen to you.
They hate you and you're stupid.
Yeah. And quit trying to control me. And us, we're like, what the fuck? I was able to control you for 10 years. I would tell you to sit. You would sit. I would tell you to eat. You would eat. And now now their brain, the problem is that age, their brain is so much more developed in the sense of that they have all these feelings that they've never felt before. And they now have their own thoughts.
Yes.
And us, we're like, you're 10. And they're like, I might be the age of 10. But sometimes their brain is a little bit advanced in the way that they think.
Yeah, totally.
Not saying that they should be given like adult responsibilities. But I think that's why you get a lot of like the guilt and the whole clashing is the fact that like we want to control everything that's going on. And if something's not going the way that we think it is, then, oh great, my kid's fucked up and it's my fault because they're not doing what I think they should be doing.
So perhaps we're using the word guilt in an incorrect way. We're
Maybe
not seeing
it's control.
Guilt. Maybe it's control.
Well, mm-hmm. isn't
and
that...
control is based on fear, right? Because we're afraid. We want to make sure our children are safe and healthy and have the best and all those things. Every parent wants these things.
Yeah. I actually did a...
Pretty much. I know there's probably one or two out there that don't write.
See, I don't wonder if there's a huge amount of pressure from society for this behavior that it's impossible to make kids do what an adult wants them to do. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, and as soon as a kid screams, it makes a noise, it gets all embarrassing, it's all this stuff that gets associated with it.
Yeah.
And then you go, I'm a bad parent, or that kind of thing, right?
I just had a light bulb go off, and it was just like...
Go with the light bulb.
The light bulb went off. So you know how in cultures that are on the other side of the world, right? And they are like, you're now an adult at 12 or 13, and they do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, you wouldn't go over there, and they would be like, my 13, my 13-year-old is a crazy person and I have failed.
Yeah.
It's like on this side of the world, it's like it's like they let them develop into them their own person. And yes. It's like here, it's like
we infantilize them until they're like what, 25?
Yeah. Like, and it's like I think that's why we have so many, the way that we were brought up, like again, this is not, how can I word this? Like, it's not that I think that this is how things should be, but it's like back a long time ago, people were like getting married at like 13, 14, 15. That's right. And so I think that in our instincts that we are, because like, it's like we have genetic remembering. I don't know if that's the correct term or whatever, but like we remember these things genetically. And I think that that's why we have these kids that are like 13, 14, 15 that are so much more mature than what we know what to do with, because back a long time ago, that was normal.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The like kids at 12 and 13 were far more adult than we think they ought to be.
We choose some of those things because we can still give quote-unquote children, young adults, responsibilities that are pertinent to them and let them make choices. I always say that, you know, a lot of these things wouldn't happen if they were given things to do.
Yes.
And I don't mean things to do like... you have to take out the garbage, although that is a good thing. Make them take out the garbage.
House chores are the first thing. They should be doing those at like 3.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. As soon as they can start into, because they're not doing it for you. They are doing it for themselves so that they are then more complete adults. But giving them those choices, my parents, we were talking about it the other day. My parents at the age of 12 made me go through the whole house buying process with a new house that they were buying.
Yeah.
And that included sitting for 3 hours waiting for... waiting for the offer to come back to see whether we'd gotten it. And I remember literally lying on the floor of the real estate offices, like lying on her carpet going, oh my gosh, it's like midnight. And why are they making me do this? And then they showed me in, you know, and they showed me not line by line, but they showed me, well, this is what an offer looks like. And this is what we do. And this is how we have to sign it. And we have a lawyer that does this.
Yeah, but lots of parents don't do that. No, lots of parents shelter
valuable.
Them. This is adult stuff. Go to your friend's house, go and do this. Like, I know that that happened with me. There's a lot of things where it was like, this is adult stuff. You're going to go do this and we're not going to. And it's like we don't involve them in a bunch of things.
Yeah.
But then we also put responsibilities on them. Like I had to watch my younger sister a lot when I was younger. So I was responsible enough for another life to watch her.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do other things because they didn't want me to.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's a control thing. Right. And so we want to control what's going on because a lot of the time we have their best interests at heart.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's right. Like, again, people are going to be like, we are going to be writing into these people.
Bring it.
Yeah. But I just think that we're seeing a dynamic shift with and I've noticed it more so with the pandemic with moms or parents that are staying home. Mm-hmm. And they're feeling like they're failing because their kids and them are now fighting. Mm-hmm. Way more. Their kids are acting out way more, and it's like, what did I do wrong?
This is what I'm gonna throw in a little bit here, because I was, what's the right word, excuse the language, a fucking bastard as a kid.
You can swear. We're a swear.
I know, but it's just Australian. What I remember with my mum and I, because it was just me and her, was that there was a point in time when I got to teenagehood where mum sat back and let me ride my own wave, probably because I was another foot or two taller than her. There was no way that she could therefore stop me, because I remember years ago when I first got into graffiti, my mom said to me, oh, graffiti artists don't do graffiti illegally, when I was young enough. But I wasn't quite young enough, and I was like, yeah, no, that's not how any of that works. And I went off and took control of my own life because I'm a separate entity to my mother.
Yeah.
And every kid is a separate entity. But exactly. I think there's a lot of parents that don't understand that.
Yeah.
And that they infantilize infants, if you like. Do you know what I mean? And take their own power away from them by telling them, don't do this, da-da-da, because they see themselves.
Well, that's
just
it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like you... Like, for me, I think my biggest struggle, I think, when my kids get older, is trying not to put them on the path that I wish that I went on.
That's always a tough one.
Right?
Say that again. Can you say that again? I need to hear that again.
That making... So, like, when my kids get to be older, right? I don't want to have, like, I don't want to try and put them on the path that I think that I should have went on.
Because right, living your life through them.
They are going to have their own life. And they will make fucking mistakes. And they will do things. I'm going to be like, what the hell were you thinking? But it's like, okay, well, let's just, like, not bring up all the terrible things that I did. But all that stuff made me who I am today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So what... When you sit back and you think about how this, like, how things used to be back in, like, caveman days, right? And I keep going back to that because it's like, I feel like that's what we, that's where we came from. We might be westernized, we might be living here in houses and have hydro and stuff like that, but it's like, I think that all of the things that people go through, I think it comes from the fact that, like, we know what we're supposed to be doing. Are we supposed to be in school for that many years? Is that something that is normal? That, or is that something that people, they, you know, parents have to work, so we need a place to send our kids, so we're going to send them there.
Yeah. Standardized to watch learning. Them. There's valuable things to those sort of things as well, but yeah, we have to remember that, you know, Neanderthals did not have kindergarten.
Mm-mm. No. But yeah, no, so they didn't have kindergarten. And me and Tom were talking about how, you know, what if we ended up having school start later? Like, what if they started school... Which obviously is not something we can do because, you know, parents have to work and it's the way our society is built that, like, you have to do these things. You have to send your kids to school unless you're fortunate enough to be a stay-at-home mom or you're able to, like, juggle things that you can be home. But, you know, if you put your kids into school later, like, kids going to high school and you're wondering why they're acting like little psychopaths, maybe it has to do with the fact their hormones are ranging and they're going through school and then now they have to decide what they're going to do for the rest of their lives. And when they're 25, they might not like what they chose when they were 18.
They probably won't.
No.
Well, that, I mean, that's the secret, you know, like, you are allowed to take on different paths until you find the right one. And that doesn't stop. I mean, my range of work has gone from everything from selling stuff in a store to jewelry to graffiti to body painting to, you know, and, like, that's me particularly. But, mm-hmm. you know, eventually that takes time. You can't sort of look at kids at that age and say, here, you have to fix one point now. That's
but they
can't
of,
do that, can they?
They kind of do. They kind of do, yeah. Though. Yeah, like, they're supposed to decide what they go to school. Oh, now
that's rubbish. I'm so sorry.
Generationally, our generation was kind of the tail end of that gold watch mentality that you were supposed to start with a career and you're supposed to keep at it for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Your generation, Brittany, yeah. going forward and stuff like that, there wasn't quite the expectation. There was a little bit more of a do something that interests you and you can always go back to school later.
See, I was like, I'm like a professional disappointer person because my parents wanted, like, seriously, like,
what did your parents want you to do?
Oh my God. They wanted me to have really good grades and I sucked at school. I'm really good at life stuff, but, like, not any good with the whole school.
Are you one of those people that finds something that they like and then goes dive head forward into it?
Yeah, I think that my ADHD, I need to find something that fully in, like, that I enjoy. Like, this podcast is something I love to do. I don't make money on it. I think, like, the jobs that I found that I liked the most was high pat, like, it had to be quick and it kind of had to change every day, but it had to be fast. Like, I cooked for 1800 people every day.
That's crazy.
That was something that I loved to do because it was, yes, okay, I hated it sometimes, but I truly enjoyed it because it was, like, it was so fast paced. I would be, like, when I look now, I'm like, I would be a really good investigator for the cops. I would love to do that. Do I have the, do I want to go to school to be a cop? No, because I'd be, like, first of all, I don't think I'd even get through the, like, fitness the aspect of things. I'd be like, can I have a burger, please? Like, this is, can I get, like, I got burger muscles, right? Like, there's going to be no, there's been, like, and then when I was younger, I wanted to be a teacher. That's hilarious now because that was when I was, like, in grade three. I was like, I'm going to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm. It's because we love our teachers in grade three usually.
I didn't even love my teachers. I just was like, I wanted to do that. And I think when I was that age, I wanted to do it because I was so frustrated with the fact that I hated school so much because it didn't work for me the way that that I wanted to. I didn't want to sit there and write on a piece of paper and look at a teacher. I wanted to tear things apart and build it and do things like that. Like, that's the type of... education that I wanted to do. Like, I hated being in a normal brick and mortar school where you sit down and the teacher's up at the front and they're test, like, you're testing me. And if I fail the test, that, like, has a mark on my grade. Like, tests are fucking stupid. Your test should be, I should be able to do a test however many times until I get it right. It shouldn't just be you get one test and if you fail, then you're fucked.
Yeah, because that actually doesn't make sense. That's not an effective learning method anyway.
That's what they do in normal schools. Okay?
They just need to check that box and go, yeah, we tested them. It didn't work out. On you go.
And that's what I'm saying is that I think that that's, you're literally setting them up. So if somebody has kind of low self-esteem, and like I did, like I had terrible self-esteem when I was growing up, and then doing school and constantly failing, I just lost it. I was done with it.
It's like, once you failed enough, why would you bother?
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, well, you know, maybe she needs to be in, like, special ed, which was just like, I was like, oh, so then you think I'm, like, stupid? That's what I thought. When
which
I,
is not to say that people in special ed are stupid.
No, but when, no, but when I was young, that's what I thought. I was like, okay, so you don't think I'm, like the rest of them? Which, in hindsight, I'm probably not like the rest of them, but...
She really isn't.
I'm really not. But at that point, I was like, okay, so now you... I'm too much work for you, so now you want to put me off into a smaller room with someone else to see if they can fix me because you think there's something kind of going on.
Probably actually would have helped.
But it didn't, because I was just like, I just hated it. It was just, they would give me extra time, and it didn't work because I didn't want to do it because it wasn't interesting.
That's
interesting. I didn't want to do it. I don't want to sit here and write things out. I don't.
You would have done much better at like a Waldorf school.
Because both of our kids went to Waldorf, there's that they have these, you know, parental meetings for the school and stuff. And one of them is where the parents go out and they have all the teachers there, and you put your name in a hat and you pull it out, or you pull out a teacher's name or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you go to that class. And we did a class. It was year 7. I can't remember what it was. I did year 7.
It's a way for the teacher. It's a way for the parents to learn about the classes.
To learn how they learn. And what they did is they used the whole classroom and turned it into a pinhole camera, which was like, so they darkened the whole room.
Yeah.
One little hole out the window, and then like one of those, you know, those film screens for the old projectors and stuff. And they put one of those down, and you could see outside the window, upside down on the projector, and it turned the whole learning lesson into an experiment that you experienced.
Yeah.
They did things like drawing and writing reflected from a mirror.
Okay.
And I had exactly the same thing as you did. Like, I went to school. I couldn't study. I was never at school.
No.
I was getting high, getting drunk. I just didn't want to be there.
I didn't do that.
I was really, really, really bad. But I did this class, and I was like, I should have gone to a Waldorf school. It would have grabbed my attention.
Way more.
It would have fertilized the garden that's in your mind. Do you know what I mean? As learning a valuable lesson that is engaging completely.
Yeah.
And the school system doesn't do that.
No, I felt like I was, in the school's eyes, I felt like I was like trash to them. That they were like, she's not getting straight A's.
Because you're not listening.
And I'm not listening. She's ADHD. She can't sit still. I can't fucking sit still because you're boring as shit. Your teacher's boring. Your class is boring. I come into the stupid classroom. They're long fucking days. And I hate it. I have no friends here because I don't relate to anybody. Because I had all these people that you go in and you have like the cool crowd. And I don't know. I was like a loser in the, I don't know why. I didn't want to go out and drink and party. That was not something that I wanted to do at all. And then I didn't hang out with like the quiet people because I was way too loud. I'm like this weird, and I think you're right. I think I'm like this artsy person that needed to have that explored, and I just couldn't do it there because I hated it.
I have a question.
What's your question?
With everything that you've told us about yourself, how do your parents see you? And what their responsibility to you was, their parental guilt.
I don't know. I just feel like I've kind of always been like the disappointment. Like, I don't know. I don't know how they feel, because I don't think that they even have any guilt. I think that they feel bad about my behavior. And I think a lot of that goes with my mom, where she's just like, you know, I wish I could have helped you more, but it's like, you couldn't have helped me because you wouldn't have been able to even afford to send me to a private school or do it. Like maybe if we could get kids that have the ability to be in those schools where it didn't cost, you know, 20, $1,000 to have them in there, that would be better for a lot more kids, because they get put into a normal school system and there's nothing there for them. There's nothing there. If they don't fit into that box that the government says that you need to be in, they're lost. And if you want to, my mom was a divorced mom. She wasn't a single mom because she had my dad there. And so my dad was still around and he would like pay support and stuff, but like she had to run a house. She had to pay like, and so for them to come up for with like money to send me to a special school, which in Cambridge, when I went there, there was nothing like that there.
So, I mean, like that's, I guess my point was when I'm making with all this and using you as an example was that, you know, there's the character of the child and then there's the expectations of a parent because the parent has had to I'm not going to use the word experience prior, you know, their 30s or whatever, and they've had enough experience in the world, but they're actually forced into society's path.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make their kids do that. But you obviously weren't, me too, but you obviously weren't a person that was going to go down that path. So what my question is, with those two things being balanced that way, why is there parental guilt when there's this individual who really does need to learn comprehensively with a good education, and then the expectations of the parent who feel bad that their kid doesn't understand how to fall into path, you know what I'm saying?
See, I don't think the parents feel bad at the time because they're getting so much flack from the school. They don't feel bad. The parents are pissed off.
They just want their kid to do what?
Get the fuck to school.
Yeah.
I have to work. You're being a pain in my ass. I don't have time for this shit. Go there. Do the work. Be quiet. Like, that's what it essentially is. Like, right? Like, they don't want to deal with it, not because they don't want to, but because they're just tired. So like, and don't get me wrong, like when you have a kid and they're having problems with school, the parents initially will have patience and they're trying to like work things out, what's going on, but then like when the kids repetitively become a pain in the ass, like I became, it just was like they got mad and then they were just like just do whatever the hell you want. Like they'd, and I think a lot of parents you're finding are just being like whatever, and they just throw their hands up and they just are done. And I think it's because they get themselves so wrapped up and involved. And it's like they take everything personally.
That's an interesting point. Yeah.
See, I think I think everything that I guess I've been trying to lead up to on my end of it is that there's just too much stuff. It goes back to what you said about cavemen, back in the day. When there wasn't kindergarten, there wasn't all this sort of stuff. And we have layered so much stress after stress after stress. Anything is that buying a house, doing the shopping, doing the laundry, going to work, dealing with people at work, all these things. Like I think that we as a society are being asked too much to be able to successfully. Yeah.
Or is it expectations that we get put onto us and that we put on ourselves and to other people? I expect that I should own a house by the time I'm 30, because that's the one thing my parents keep. You should buy a house. I can't buy a fucking house because I can't afford to buy a house because I can't even find a job right now due to COVID. Like, it's expectation after, and it's like when you can't hit the expectation, then it's, you feel like a failure, and it's like, and then it's stress because you can't hit those marks because they're not reachable.
And then we want to do the best thing for our kids, which is make them successful under the stressful conditions that we're experiencing.
Yeah.
I don't think parents should feel guilt at all.
But how to stop somebody from feeling that, or how can somebody stop themselves from feeling that guilt? Because I get it, because I'm like, I don't really feel guilty. It's like whenever I feel guilty about something, I just decide whether or not it's something, can I do better? Nope, not really. Okay, then there's no point in feeling guilty. That doesn't mean that I don't have emotion. Sometimes it's like, oh, I should have sat down and done more online schooling with her. And then it's like, but you didn't want to. Yeah, okay, that's valid. And she's in grade one. She'll survive. It'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, the kids change and develop with or without.
Yeah, but things like, okay, my high school student needed some support around signing up for a program. I want him to learn how to do that stuff himself for sure.
Yeah.
I kind of left him to flounder for a little while, and then I'm like, okay, you're feeling guilty about that. Why? You know what? He probably needs a little bit of support on this one. Let's figure out what the problem was. And it actually was a problem because he wasn't getting the information. Yeah. Turns out he wasn't getting the information.
I have a question then.
Yeah.
Do any of you look at your kids and go, you know what? They're going to be fine regardless of what happens.
Oh, I have. Yeah. Like,
you have faith in your kids.
I see.
Is what I'm saying.
When I look at my kids, not that I'm trying to put them into boxes, but it's going to sound like that. But like, I can see that my oldest is a builder and he likes to do things kind of by himself. He likes to play parallel to people, Like, he likes to do things with you, but not with you. Like,
but that's the age,
but that,
too.
That's a parental observation. But then
right. When you see my youngest, he's very, like, come and be my friend. Follow me. And it's like, I feel like my gut feeling says that I think that my oldest might get into doing things with his hands, building things, doing things. Like, I think that that would be something, like, he's going to be, I think, a lot like me. Where he wants to build things. Like I said, we got him Lego and he's sitting there, he's building all of these things, right? And then you have Bronson and he's just like, he's hands-on, but he wants to go and experience things, whereas Mason wants to sit there and build things and focus.
Interesting.
Right? And that's probably going to change, but I can just kind of see, I was like, they're both going to be fine, but they're both going to be in completely different directions.
Oh, yeah.
Right? My sister worked for the Fairmont. She worked out west. She did. Now she went to school to be event planning. And now she works for TIFF.
Nice.
And then there's me, and I do nude modeling, and I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I run a podcast.
There you go.
Two completely different things, but then also kind of parallel because it's like entertainment.
Right. No, that's really valid.
So yeah, it's just like, it's interesting because we don't realize those things until we are faced with them, and you're just like, wow, like... They are going to be okay. They will be okay. Them not going to school. They might not be, maybe should go to school, but like maybe they aren't finding it interesting. Right. I'm also noticing there's a lot of kids that are having a hard time because of this whole pandemic thing just to begin with.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I think that's a whole, I think the parent
that's
guilt
a whole another
has
podcast.
Gone through the roof with this pandemic.
It's taken a lot of supports away from some of the parents where I don't know how else to put it, but a lot of parents have not really had to parent their kids
until this pandemic.
It's true. Yeah.
Or even at all. Oh, I literally had a friend who was like, I thought I was my kid's parent. And then I realized I actually wasn't. I only saw my kid
a few times,
like 3 hours out of the day. And one of those hours was getting them ready for bed.
Yeah.
And she was like, I have no way of relating to my kid.
Do you know how many people
for the rest of the day?
You know how many people I've said that to, and they were like, they got their panties in a knot.
Well, people get so mad about it.
And I'm like, I'm not trying to be offended. Like, I'm not trying to offend you, but I'm giving you, like, you send your kids to school from 8:30 in the morning until you pick them up from their daycare when you're working, or you pick them up from school, so like 3, and or in between the hours of 3 and 5, you come home, you cook, you make food, you get them ready, and so you're spending a few hours, so like 3 hours, say 3 to 4 hours a day with them, and then you have them on the weekends.
Yep. Which is, they're all different ways of relating.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, it's very different than having to now substitute a teacher for a kid that maybe, I mean, depending on the ages. I find my little isn't actually concerned particularly at all. At her age, she's more interested in us. Mm-hmm. So if she goes to school, she goes to school. If she doesn't, She's at the sweet spot. But some of my friends with slightly older kids, the kids are struggling because they don't get to see their friends. All of a sudden, they have to relate to their parents in a way that they haven't had to. And that's not, like, we have to look at that and not feel guilty about that. That's the way your life is. That's the way you've either chosen to structure your life or by circumstance have had to have your life. Don't feel guilty about that. You do not need to feel guilty about that.
No.
That's the way it is. And now you've got to find a new way to relate. That's what happens in adulting.
Was I talking to one of you about how... we're so busy that we don't have time for ourselves when we're alone. You know, there's this thing where you go into, there's a room and it's absolutely soundproofed. So soundproofed.
You know, that you're that stuck in your own head.
That you hear your own heartbeat.
Yeah.
So when, you know, like listening to yourself, listening to your system, the human electricity working, drive you up the wall. You're not used to it. It's confronting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of drawing away from yourself affects your parenting as well. Like,
well, there's a lot of people that aren't right with themselves. They are not okay. Yeah. There's a lot of people that have a lot of things that they just don't focus on. So I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to put all my focus on what's going on with you because I don't want to focus on what the fuck's going on with me.
Yeah, that's it.
That's a really, really intelligent response for sure.
And I think that's exactly why people have trouble and kind of, you know, are like, I feel bad about my kid. With that whole dynamic going on, you see where I'm going, right? Yeah.
I think that you are really, like, dead on with that, like, we're trying to focus on other things and not focus on ourselves. And not, no one's a perfect human, right? Yeah. We all have our like things that we don't want to, like there's lots of things in my past where I'm like, we are not opening up that box. That box is going to go back there and we're not opening it ever. Yep. And I'm good with it.
But that affects you every day though.
It does. But you, it's funny because when this whole pandemic started, I watched the entire world go through what a mom goes through when she's home with her baby and the excitement has calmed down and everyone stops coming around and she's stuck at home with her kid, her new baby, and she's dealing with depression. And because she's stuck at home, she can't go out, she can't do anything because they're still so small and you're stuck with yourself.
Wow. That's a really, really interesting point.
Because I'm like, wow, I had postpartum anxiety, rage, and depression. And it was interesting watching it unfold here because people are like, oh, I'm, and I was like, a part of me, because I'm an asshole, was like, heh, all these people that were like, how can you be sad? Why don't you go out? And I was like, well, doesn't it suck that you can't leave your fucking house? Doesn't that suck that now you're stuck at the house and you can't leave? Because being a mom, a new mom with no car, and my husband had to like leave, and after having my kids and everyone came by for the first month, I'm like, oh, they're so cute. And then everyone just fucks off. Everyone's busy. Everyone's doing their own thing.
Their own stuff.
So they don't come by. Yeah. And then you're stuck by yourself. You're having feelings and emotions and stuff, and you can't communicate them because you don't get to see people. The entire world went through that literally all together at the exact same time.
100%.
And that's the best
way
that I can
interesting.
That's the best way that I can explain it is like because I went through it and it's not.
So you must be sitting there like, you know, all the people that are complaining, you can just suck this because
I said, well, no,
I know what it's about.
I'm like, I know what you guys are feeling because I went through that 5 years ago when I had my son. Mm-hmm. And it's not in the same context because it's like something out there will literally could kill you, but it's the same mental fight that you're going through where you're like, I miss people, I want my old life back. How many new moms are like, I just want a night out, I just want to go and do things, but then I leave my kid,
I want to have lunch with my friends,
I just
want to
go
to the office,
and you can't, right? And so watching the whole world do that, and I'm like, because again, I had a lot of people that are kind of like were pricks to me, and I was like, oh, you're having a hard time? That sucks because, again, I'm an asshole. And I was like, oh, well, you're having a hard time? That's unfortunate because you were fortunate enough for however long this was until this hit that you were able to distract yourself and keep go. And you go to the gym, you go and you eat and you go and you do all that stuff. And then me as a mom being stuck at home with my newborn baby, which I love so very much, but it was like you don't get to go out and do things. And then when you're dealing with anxiety, you're anxious, you don't want to go out. What if the baby, what if something happens, what if, like, you go through all these things.
I mean, that's it though, isn't it? Like, you're your own worst enemy.
Yes,
like with all that sort of stuff that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it
literally will just tear you apart because you're sitting there and you're mentally plucking like these things from you and you're like, this is bullshit, this is that, this. And then it's like watching everyone go through it, and then you're seeing people with kids and their kids are acting out. Well, no shit, because they're going through the same thing that you're going through as an adult and you're not even coping. So how the fuck do you expect a 14-year-old or a 10-year-old to cope if you can't even fucking cope?
So I've got a question. So sorry, I'm being Mr. Fix It right now.
That's fine.
But it's like with us being able to sit here and recognize one of the root causes as to why, you know, people have problems with themselves, and then extension have problems with raising their kids, because all these things are distractions and you don't get to the core of it. What's the answer?
I don't know. I think from looking back when I was younger and seeing things now, I think the biggest thing when it comes to the kids and fixing things, you can't fix it. I think it's a matter of your building blocks, teaching your kids how to communicate.
Yes.
Learning to communicate with each other. You know, people are upset there, and like, my kids are young and they probably shouldn't say the word fuck or damn or whatever. But I told Tom, I said, they're words. I can all of a sudden say that fork is a bad word and you can't say it. If they say it, they're allowed to express themselves here. This is their safe zone. And if everybody in that house doesn't know how to properly feel safe and communicate and verbalize how they're feeling, your fucking house is going to crumble. It's going to crumble because you guys...
So it doesn't matter what you say as long as you say it, sort of thing? Is that where you're going?
I think we need to teach from a young age that communication, good or bad, is allowed. I think that we need to teach that, you know, having respect, because again, you have kids that are kind of like, they think they're like gods and they walk around and they're like, you need to do this. And you, like, it's like, I think we need to go back to the basics of teaching them how to properly interact with one another, because it's like when you have a parenting child relationship, I am here, you are here. Don't you notice that with like people that like, I am the boss, I am in charge, and you might have feelings, but I don't care because I'm the mom.
Yes and no. I mean, it's okay to have boundaries. Like, it's okay to be the boss. It gives boundaries. Kids security.
Boundaries are super important. And I'm not saying not to have them, but I think that what's kind of happened is that we have completely disconnected from everybody in our house. Everybody has their own a lot of space. Now, this doesn't stand for you guys because you guys are a different household.
We don't allow for it either. So.
Yeah. No, but disrespect is disrespect and it needs to be addressed. But having someone that is being disrespectful, if they're screaming and you're screaming, you're just going to keep screaming until you get louder than each other.
Yeah, it's a waste of time.
And so I don't even know where I'm going with this, but it's just I just feel like we need to teach the kids, because they don't know how to do any of these things unless we show them how. Like, and if we are just showing them that, you know, me and you are married, like, we don't have a good way of like communicating or talking, that I'm just going to shut you down and shut you up, or we're going to fight. We're teaching the next generation how
modeling good behavior.
Yeah.
They often call it that. Yeah.
So is awareness like an answer? Like, so when you realize that you are, as an example, making your kid do certain things because society calls for it.
Yeah, like,
and that's what we fall back on, and you know, it's like, well, you have to go to school. When you become aware to that as a habit forming kind of behavior, is that not where we can sort of sit down and explain to our kids?
I think you're looking for the word accountability.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So as an adult, if you act like a shitty person to your kid, I think that like accountability. So showing your kids that I fucked up, I'm sorry, right? And teaching them that from a young age. Like, I, you know how many times, like, it sucks having to go to my 4-year-old and be like, mommy was not right and she shouldn't have freaked out like that and I'm sorry. Teaching them that stuff so then when they get older, they kind of understand that, like, okay, I fucked up, but I'm allowed to say I fucked up, and feeling like it's a safe environment. Because I think we, like you said, kids are spending all this time in school with other people, other people's families, right? And so you need to have a solid foundation at the house.
Which have their own toxic.
And I think that people get into mom and dad are working. Okay, we're going to put you in sports. We're going to do this. And then things pop up and we just don't discuss them.
Yeah, because then you go to bed and then the next day you have another day that starts we never have time to teach them those
things.
And
that's where the snowball starts.
Yes.
And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you have kids that are like 14, 15, 16, 17, and you're like, what in the fuck is going on here? And it's like, because you are going from, we're not going to talk about it, to you're losing your fucking mind. It's like one extreme to the other. And I think that that's where a lot of the guilt comes from, is because people are like, okay, how did it go from here where we're all having fun and like everything's great to now I feel like my house is crumbling? Because you didn't build a foundation of communication and trusting each other. Because a lot of the time the first thing that someone will say is, I don't trust you.
Yes.
Don't trust this. I don't feel like I can tell you how I'm feeling because you're gonna freak out.
Yeah, I don't have the time or energy right now to go through the stroking it's going to take to get you to the point where you're going to allow me to actually express my feelings.
Yes.
Right? Which can be really hard because we're melding different households. When you're living with a partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
I feel so bad for everybody right now, because I think it's been such a hard time and we all are having to relearn how to do things, and it's really hard to teach people new things.
Yeah. Or just learn them in the first place.
Yeah.
How to regulate your emotions at home.
But that has to do with the people that you're surrounded with, right? Like, what made me more aware of it, and it's because I'm really silly, but like getting into crystals and getting into like energy, and the energy that I put out is the energy that I'm gonna
That's conducting your own awareness.
Yeah, but that took me. I didn't figure that out till I was in my 20s. When I was like, why is it that everywhere I go is chaos? Because I'm the fucking chaos.
Yeah. There you go.
That is brilliant self-awareness.
Yes.
Yeah. That's like important. I am the chaos. I'm 32 turning 33 and I'm still fucking chaos, but I'm more aware of it. I have like a hyper awareness and I can step out of myself and be like, okay, you're acting like a crazy bitch. You need to calm your shit down.
Some people are Buddhist
monks.
You're
very different. Yeah. You're very different than when we first met you.
Some people are Buddhist monks and some people are whirlwinds.
Yeah.
And that's just
and,
of human beings.
Yeah. And I've seen myself go from a Tasmanian devil where I would walk into a room and it was like, whoom, and I would just like everything. But it was, I didn't know what the, like, I didn't know that my anxiety had to do with the fact that, like, I didn't feel like I could communicate with the people in my life.
So you were taking control of a situation in the only way you knew how.
And I didn't want to be home because I didn't want to communicate with you guys because I didn't, not you guys, but like, I didn't want to communicate because I didn't feel like I could. So I want to hang out with my friends because they're on the same level as me, best buddies, because we can relate to each other. Yeah, my mom's an asshole. Yes. Yeah. But it's like all of that stuff has an underlying growth. Like it all comes from like the roots are so deep in that. And if you don't know how to communicate and if you don't feel safe, you're going to find every fucking reason to run. And I ran for years. I was like, oh, emergency eject. I'm gone. 16. I was out of the house. I was like, fuck you guys. You guys don't know me. You guys don't know what's going on because I didn't know how to communicate. Nobody taught me how to talk about my fucking feelings. It was, oh, you're a troubled kid. And it just felt like everyone was just kind of done. And so when I moved out, it was like, I was no longer anyone's problem. I was my own.
Did kids help you also with that awareness? Did having children in your life, because as a parent, you get to watch them and the, like the connection between parent and child, and you sort of see yourself in that person, you know, they do things that you used to do. And so there's another awareness that pops up that
teaches
you. Of
course. You know why kids trigger us so badly? Because they don't know boundaries. Our kids trigger us because they will hit on our traumas. They don't know boundaries. They will trigger us because I don't like being touched and grabbed, right? Well, what the fucking kids do? They grab and they touch and that triggers me. Don't grab me. And now I try to explain to them, mommy doesn't like to be grabbed. Like it's, and I try to say like, mommy's touched up. My 5-year-old has no idea what the hell touched up means, right? Like
you're teaching him what that word means so that he can communicate that later in his life or even with a younger sibling where he's going to be able to, he now has a word for us something.
Yes, and that's what I'm trying to do. And I'm guilty of it because I don't want anyone on here thinking I'm some amazing parent, because what happens is like grab, and then I'm like, okay, you need to fucking stop, right? And I get to the point where my cup is so full, it's overflowing.
Yeah.
And I have to go for a walk because I can't deal with it. And it, honest to God, is a fact because my kids can just pick up on my triggers and they don't know that.
Well, and they're kids,
but
too.
But then that's something I still have to work on.
Yeah.
Everybody, it is a life, and being humans is a never-ending working on yourself. Your life, you have a reason to be here. You have to work through your things. And that's why we're here. We're learning through, I'm going to sound like a hippie, but like our past karmas is what I think. Like the triggers and stuff, like you have to work through those things. That's why we have a life. That's what we're doing as a spirit. We have our lives and we have to do whatever, but that's what I think.
Doesn't that also boil down to what the nature of a human being is though? Like this is the thing. Kids are absolute just balls of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the boundaries. They just free flow from a point within their bodies. Do you know what I mean? They don't. Mm-hmm. They don't have. You know. They. This is why, like, you know, when you're changing into clothes and your kid points at your private areas, and there isn't a boundary or
stigma.
You know a stigma or something that stops them from mentioning it, they're just gonna say it because they see it. That's their nature. We're supposed to be something like that. But we get all these habits and behaviors that get put onto us, stresses, traumas, all those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get, once again, reflected onto the kids.
Yeah,
and instead of being able to see them as, and kind of not go down to their level, but at least talk their language.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like then we're probably going to get better response and a less guilty thing because all we can actually do is the best that we can actually do.
Yeah, I think that they act out. Kids act out because they're mirroring us. If I'm anxious and I'm not talking about it, my energy is going to be anxious. I'm going to be short. I'm not going to have patience. I don't want to do it. So like when they're like, mom, and I'm like, just stop. I don't want, it's just like, they will literally turn that. They will take that. They will eat it and they will spit it right back out at me. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? They are just giving me back my own output.
So how does that make you feel with the mom guilt thing?
It makes me feel like crap because I know, like, I will think about it later. I'm like, I should have tried to verbalize it better. And it's something that I have to work on. And it's something that we all have to work on. But I think the biggest part of working on it is becoming aware of it, right? And I don't, like, I feel guilty, but I'm more disappointed in myself because I know better because I've had to work on this for such a long time.
We often repeat the same mistakes that we make and still recognize it and go, oh, we did it again, right? It's because guilt is really just shame, right?
So here's one. Me and Tom were having a disagreement, and because we're both loud, we're right, and it hit me, and of course I started like bawling because I felt like such a shitty human. But like my youngest comes downstairs and he goes, like, be happy.
Aww.
And I'm like, oh my god, like, I'm such a bad mom. Like, I'm tearing up because I felt so bad.
Oh, you are not a bad mom. She is not a bad mom. Like, she really, really isn't. But it shows you that guilt is there. Like, that was, you know.
It sucks. Because you're like, I don't want them to grow up thinking that the only way to communicate is to yell.
Well, he recognized, actually, that it wasn't the only way. Right? It's like, he's little. So his response was to just be happy. Like, he didn't have anything else in his arsenal to sort of help you. He recognized an emotion, and then he responded in a non-yelling, non-screaming, non-argumentative way, the only thing that he could.
Yeah.
Hey, you can be happy now, Mom. There you go. It's simple. He's four, right? Or he's five. It's like...
Kids are, like, they're little balls of awareness. Like, for them, what you and Tom were fighting about to your kid was, like, whatever they're talking about doesn't make any sense. They don't need to do it. That's what's going on in their head. They see it from their point of view. Why? As in, why? Not why, as in, well, you said one thing and you said the other thing. That's a disagreement and we fight. It's why, as in, why at all?
Yeah.
Is there a screaming at all? Why does there need to be that?
Well, and that's the thing, is like, I feel bad for that. Like, I feel bad when we do it. And I think the thing that I suck at the most, and I have to work on it, is if we're going to fight in front of the kids, we need to make up in front of the kids.
Stop right there. One second. Stop right there. What you just said just now, if at all, when you have that self-awareness, isn't that what every parent needs to, because you're working on yourself. Yeah. Whatever it is, as a person, you're working on yourself. You are trying to improve yourself.
Yeah.
There are failures. You have the argument. But there isn't. You have the podcast so you can tell people about it. Like, there's all those ups and downs. But isn't your whole process of knowing that you are fucking up here but trying to improve it is something that everybody that's listening right now can take away with them?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of where I kind of think... Because I don't think any of the parents out there who are sitting there listening right now and going, I totally... and that I am a shitty parent, I feel guilty, blah, blah, blah. I don't think you should.
No.
I think you need to let some things just run naturally because you are in a non-human situation. This pandemic, like you just said, is an absolute perfect example of what's fucked up about society. Do you know what I mean? The rules, the regulations, the bullshit. Like, we should just be able to and do the things without having to one... thing after the other thing, after the other stress. Fuck it. Why am I? I'm not actually living a happy life.
Yeah.
I can't pass on happiness to my child if I'm not happy.
Yeah,
you can't, because they watch you. Way, way, way ago, back Neanderthal type days when they're kids and they go out and they hunt at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. They hunt rabbits. They hunt little animals because they watch the hunting group of whatever tribe it might be go out and do that for the tribe. They go out and they hunt the bears, they go out and hunt the deer, they follow and track and do all this sort of stuff, but they do it on small scales because they copy what we do. They mirror us. Everybody knows that. Kids mirror what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Do you know what I'm saying? So, you know, by improving yourself like you are, and the people out there that are listening, that it's the same thing. I don't want you to feel guilty. That's my point. I don't want you to feel bad if you're out there listening at all, because I think it's a stress you don't need.
No, you don't need to add the stress.
And I'd just like to add to it that we have to remember that this is a process. Like, parenting isn't something you have to like jam in all the right things in one day. It's a process. So we may not have all the tools for that process. Maybe we do. But we have to live with it as if it's a process. We also have to stop treating the pandemic as if it is, I mean, it is a type of apocalypse. But the reality is, when we lived in caves, we also had problems. Like, maybe you couldn't go outside because there was a saber-toothed tiger. Maybe you couldn't go outside because there was a mudslide. Maybe your cave fell in. We know that happened. We actually have fossil record for those sort of things. So we know that those things happen.
So stress has been there since day dot.
The stress has been there since day dot. Pivoting is hard because we maybe want to keep going in the direction we're going. But the reality is, this is what it is. So, no, you may not be happy with it. But yes, you may have to teach your kids that there are things to still be happy about.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I didn't grow up in a religious household. I had a grandmother who grew up in a very religious household, but then did not carry that over. Which we saw a lot after the Second World War, because religion obviously caused a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to say at night, she used to make me say, she called them prayers, but she always said, you're just counting your blessings. What have you got? You've got parents that love you. You're luckier than most people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had good food. You have a warm blanket. You have a nice toy. You have this. You have that. You know, you got to play in the garden today. Or, you know, it's raining. So tomorrow, when the rain stops, there'll be nice flowers because it rained today. So she was taking the negative things, or potentially negative things, and turning them into positives, mm-hmm. which has helped me my whole life deal with all kinds of crap, mm-hmm. all kinds of things that, you know, didn't go right in my life, which happens to everybody. And am I always happy? Of course not. Am I depressed sometimes? Yes, of course I am. But do I sit there whining about, oh, I don't want to do this? Nya, nya, nya. Yeah, sure I do. In the beginning. And then you have to look at it and go, oh my God, like I have to suck this up because I do have to work from home or whatever it happens to be. I didn't even get to work from home. My entire industry fell apart. My whole business of 30 years, gone. In the space of, you know, watched it coming towards me like a speeding train over the course of about 2 weeks last year. I could have sat in my bed and cried about it. Sometimes I kind of did a little bit. There may have been wine involved in some of my evenings, which is not even really like me.
No, I was just be like, you don't even drink, so let's just put that out.
I do.
I have tried
often.
To give her grass, and it doesn't work.
At the very beginning, when you're like, how do we get rid of guilt? I was gonna be like, pot. Lots of pot.
That just makes me eat Doritos.
But she doesn't even get the high that comes.
I don't even get the fun out of it.
Go on.
But no, but the point is, I had to find ways to look at it. It's like, well, I kind of had some resentment being a working mom, so I get to stay home with my kid now. So, okay, well, yeah, it's not always easy. And sometimes she asks me a million questions, and we have a big household, which is great on one hand, but then increasingly more helpless, as you know, to the point where they can't figure out if there's milk in the fridge because they don't want to open the fridge. They want to ask me if there's milk in the fridge. Those things can make you go crazy. And
yep.
You know, and it's like, and now I've got to take a walk. I'm going to lock myself in the bathroom, whatever it is. But the reality is, I had to look at what the good things were in the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I needed to teach my kids that. I couldn't have a teenager that, you know, who was going to be the hardest hit by this, thinking that this was like something that was so depressing he couldn't live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know that sometimes people have more clinical depression than that, at all the appropriate disclaimers. But I had to make sure that I was there for my kid, and I had to make sure that I was there for my little, and even for the rest of the household, because they're all dealing with the different things that come with, you know, working in an environment where, you know, anti-maskers are screaming at them and threatening them and stuff like that. And they're coming home with their own traumas and stresses and whatever else it is. I had to turn it around and make it better. Well, yeah, that sucked. Your day sucked. And you know what? It's okay to feel crap about that. But you know what there is? Ice cream. You know?
Yeah.
Find your coping. Or, you know what? Take that bright pink bath bomb. You go in with the fluffiest towels and go have a bath until you feel better. Or here's a good book. Or whatever. Doesn't really matter what it is. Whatever it is that you do that makes you feel...
Self-care.
Self-care. Just tell me about it. Tell me about your crappy day at work and the stupid anti-maskers. You know what I mean? Like, you know, whatever it happens to be. I had to teach them that so that when I'm not here anymore one day, they're able to teach somebody and they're able to have a life that is happy and a life that is, you know, where they can go, okay, you know, all right, I can make it through this because I have a I have coping mechanisms. So I think sometimes when we get to the point of yelling and screaming, we've just hit our wall of what we're able to cope with. That's
we're
all.
Tired. And I think that that's what it is. And it's just like, I see a lot of it now and I don't know how to pull back the tired. And I don't. And I.
Oh, that's can't. The trick, though.
The right. And that's the thing is like, is I think that they, when you get to the point where you're just screaming, it's like you have built such a unstable foundation of not knowing how to deal with one another. And the worst part of it is like you're in your own type of jail because you live with these people. A majority of them can't live on their own yet.
Yeah.
And all that you know, all that you have in your arsenal of parenting is I'm going to yell. Because I'm so fed up with life, that's how I cope.
What would you do to your 5-year-old if he was just screaming and yelling and flailing?
What I do with him is I put him upstairs and I tell him, I say, when you're done freaking out, like you're allowed to do it, but you need to be in a safe space. And when you're done, you can come downstairs and we can talk.
And is he usually asleep at some point?
No, he usually comes down. I actually had somebody didn't like that I picked him up and he was freaking out. And I picked him up and he was like, and he was saying that I was hurting him. I wasn't. I was just, right? And I took him upstairs and I had somebody run up the stairs behind me and like give me shit that I was hurting my kid. And I was like, and I was like, I am not hurting him. If I was hurting him, you would hear. You would physically hear me hurting him.
What's hurting him?
What I would like to do if this was another adult acting like this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you right now. I'm putting him upstairs right now because I can't, my fuse is done. I can't have a conversation. I can't even think with him screaming. I need him to go upstairs. And it's not that he's locked away and he can't come down.
Because upstairs is his safe place. It's not like a dungeon.
There's toys up there. Like, you just need to go upstairs. And when you're ready to come downstairs and we can talk. But because I lashed out at them because they were lashing out at me. And I was like, don't you fucking dare like question my
parenting.
Yeah, because I could be spanking him. I could be doing all those things. I put him upstairs. Put him in his room with his fluffy bed and his stuff.
Chill out time.
And I'm like, you need to relax. If you fall asleep, you fall asleep. And then that ended up being into like a big fight.
But then what's the adult equivalent of that? The adult equivalent is, I can't talk to you right now. I need to go away for a moment and chill out, which we often tout as something that we should be doing in relationships.
Yeah.
The equivalent of that is being in a fight with your partner and saying, I need a few minutes to just de-escalate this or chill out or whatever it happens to be, which is in like the top 10 things of things to do if you're arguing to step out. So you're actually teaching him really good boundaries.
And that's just it. Like, when it's interesting though, because I've seen situations where there's a confrontation and people are like, listen, you need to go and find somewhere else to be right now.
Yeah.
Because right now we're all really upset. And instead of it being looked at as, okay, they're doing me a favor, the person that's being told to leave is looking at, you're telling me to get lost because you don't want to deal with me. And it's like, because they aren't shown that stuff.
Yeah, because they've reached they're not recognizing it's just, they've reached the edge of it being productive and it's no longer productive.
Yeah, and that's just it.
You know.
So, well, I think this was a really good conversation that
in
we had.
In depth. I loved it.
Very good. Really in depth, good. Yeah. I don't